This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and now we go from wrestling to giraffes to modern art.
That's right. We got the low and the highbrow and everything in between.
Ooh, highbrow.
Hadn't thought of it. So over in the Dutch city of The Hague is a beautiful museum. It's called the Gemeente Museum, which has the world's largest collection of paintings by Piet Mondrian.
A.K.A. the guy who painted the squares with the primary colors, right?
That is correct. Actually, he started in the Netherlands doing landscapes. Mm-hmm. Then he moved to Paris and he blew everyone's mind with those famous paintings of the black lines and the squares. This month, for the first time ever, the Gemeente Museum put all their Mondrians on display. So on a recent trip over there, I spoke to their director, Benno Temple, who told me there is way more to this artist than meets the eye.
He influenced a lot of artists, but I think what is more important, if you came in the 20s to Paris and you were interested in art, there was only one place that you really would love to go, the studio of Mondrian. Not to the studio of Picasso or whatever, Mondrian.
Why? Why him instead of Picasso?
Well, his studio was unbelievable. You stepped into another world. Through a very small door, you entered his studio, and the walls were painted as are his paintings. So, you know, these famous paintings we all know, we can dream of almost, red, yellow, and blue, squares and lines. In this sense, he decorated the walls of his studio. So it was unbelievable. If you entered that, you came into a world that didn't exist anywhere else.
Especially at that time, there was no kind of that geometric modernism, I guess.
There was abstraction in art, but it was never put onto the walls of a building. So for people entering that space, it was unbelievable. And a lot of American collectors, American artists, and American museum curators and directors wanted to be invited or tried to get an invitation to Mondrian's studio. But if you came to a studio, you had to take him out. He loved dancing, he loved a good meal, and you had to be careful, you had to look after your wife, because if you were not looking after your wife, within a second he was dancing with her on the dance floor. This man knew how to party.
Now, how do we see that in his work? Because his work, I think if you ask most people, you'd think that it's the most rigid, the most simple. He uses only three colors and black lines. That's it, on a white background.
Well, I think it comes from the same, you might say, sensitivity that you can find in musicians, in composers. To me, Mondrian is always the best composer of the 20th century in art. He painted many paintings with his red, yellow, and blue, and none of them is boring. You can look at them for ages. It's like a music piece. It's about composition. It's about movement. It's about rhythm. And I think that's one of the reasons why he loved so much jazz music and why he loved to dance. When he came to New York, he was already an elderly man then, he was dancing every night with a number of young women. One of them was Lee Kressner, who turned out to be the wife of Jackson Pollock later.
Oh, that's right.
And that says something about the kind of guy he was. He really loved this rhythm, this movement. And in a sense, you can feel that in his paintings.
Let's talk a little bit about the technique that he used. Because again, what seems very simple is not actually very simple.
Well, I think that's a very clever remark. And
thank you.
You could say the same for Rothko. If this was only plain flat color, then it was boring. But the good thing about Rothko, about Mondrian, is that these painters paint with a brush. If you apply a brush stroke from left to right or vertical from top to bottom, it starts to reflect light. And the way you apply the brush strokes has an influence on how the light is reflected. That's what makes these paintings alive. That's what makes them shine, makes them quiver, make them dance in a way. And I think that's the brilliance. But there's another thing that's very remarkable. If I would give you a pencil and say, okay, draw a line, immediately you would see a foreground and a background. And Mondrian is one of the few, maybe the only artist I know, that draws lines and there's no foreground, no background. That's magic.
How so?
Because the logical thing of our human brain connected to our eyes is that we start to see depth in a drawing or a painting. As soon as there is a line, you see depth. And Mondrian somehow had the ability to bring to a picture plane a line and a square, and still it's in the same level. It's two-dimensional. If you can achieve that as an artist, then you do something which is almost impossible.
Let's also talk about the lines, by the way. This blew my mind. He never used rulers, is my understanding. But you look at these paintings and every line is parallel to another line. How did that even work?
Well, that's why I call him the best composer of the 20th century. A lot of things in his abstract paintings were done by intuition. Paintings were painted lying flat on a table. So he was walking around these relatively small paintings, and he was thinking and he was applying paint to the painting. Sometimes he was taking it off again, overpainting it. And he was searching for the right harmony, the right balance or disbalance. So it had to do with sensitivity, with feeling. And I think that was what makes his painting so brilliant. It's very hard to copy a Mondrian because you think it's so easy, but in the end, it has to do with feeling. It has to do with sensitivity. It's damn difficult.
How did he even do that, though? How did he even get a straight line without using a ruler?
Well, if you look very closely, you see that it was not always completely straight. All his paintings are somehow imperfect. And I think that's also important, because if it was perfect, then it would become a dead painting. It becomes design. In Mondrian's paintings, you always have the feeling that it is made by a human being.
What to you is the thing about this artist that when you were researching him most surprised you?
Well, you know, during the Second World War, many artists fled from Europe to America. And many were homesick, were longing for the old world. Mondrian loved everything in America, in New York. He loved to be there. He loved that it was a completely new way of life. And I think that brings us the essence of his work, that every time he was prepared to innovate himself, to change everything. I mean, the first time he leaves for Paris, he's almost 40. He's one of the most renowned artists of the Netherlands. And he decides to begin again, more or less, because in Paris nobody knew him. But he does it without any hesitation. Even in hairdo, he cut off his beard or he starts wearing a different hairdo or whatever. Every time he decides to leave everything behind, to start over in a sense again.
He was fearless.
And that says something about how beautiful and brilliant his work is.
Benno Temple, director of the Humenta Museum in The Hague. Their exhibit, The Discovery of Mondrian, is on display through September 24th.